everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to our everyday life. So join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now, here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
It's time to let the light in, let the light in.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin and friends. We've actually changed the format a little. We just talked to you yesterday about Cher and her going to one day a week, and we're going to be having some different guests and different people on the program. So we are changing the program format a little bit. We're going to be doing some really cool stuff, so I'm really excited about it. But I have some really good friends with me today, and I've actually brought my family. My wife and daughter are here. My wife, Lisa.
Good morning.
And my daughter, Jenna.
Hi, how's everyone doing today?
So we are looking forward to getting into the Word with you guys, and we are actually going to be talking about just killing the giants in our life today. You know, we've all got obstacles and things that we've, you know, gone through in our lives, and, you know, it can be powerful to know what the Bible says about all of that.
Exactly. And I feel like David and Goliath is the perfect story about killing a giant.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. I agree.
So we're going to actually read today from chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. And we're going to read the story of David and Goliath. And we're going to just kind of bounce it around and talk a little bit about it. And we hope you guys enjoy that. So I am going to go ahead and dive into the scripture reading at this time. So you guys kick back wherever you are, relax, and sit back and enjoy us reading this chapter for you. And then we're going to talk a little bit about it. So 1 Samuel 17, this is David and Goliath. It says this: "Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Socah, which belongs to Judah, the encamped between Socah and Azekah in Ephes-Damimon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath," that's right, the giant, "from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." Hun, didn't you look that up?
Yes, actually that's 9 feet, 9 inches. So that's pretty tall.
Imagine.
Yeah, this is a big boy, okay? So he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And, you know, it wasn't like the mail that you get, the junk mail in your thing. This was like a mesh netting that was super heavy. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, which we have no idea how much that is at this moment.
Sounds like a lot.
We could look it up, but we don't have a clue. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now, the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him.
Which I know 600 shekels is 15 pounds, so that's a pretty heavy sword.
Wow, that's crazy. Just the head of his sword was,
wow,
you know, the spearhead was 15 pounds.
That's
yeah, lot. So it says, "Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel, and he said to them, 'Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us.' And the Philistines said, 'I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.' And when Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons. And the man was old and advanced in years in the days of Saul. And the 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and 3rd was Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself for 40 days, morning and evening. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their thousand, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in a battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, and will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. And then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine? And he takes away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him.
Now Elab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Elab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Then he turned from him towards another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for them. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of his flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with a coat of mail. And David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. It was so big on David. He was like, this can't even fit me.
Right,
what are you talking about? I'm a little guy. So then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch, which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistines. I can imagine the look like he was getting when he was doing that. They're like, what is this guy doing? Like, first he's trying to fight the giant, and now grabbing stones. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give you your flesh to the birds of the air and the beast of the field.
Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistine to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on the face of the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran over and took the Philistine and took the sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and at the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistine fell along the road of Shearim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned, chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it into Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. When Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is of this youth?" And Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." So the king said, "Inquire whose son this young man is." Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" So David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite."
Whew. All right, we got it. Man, that was a long chapter.
A lot of reading.
Definitely was.
58 verses. But, you know, what a great story. We hope you guys actually enjoyed listening to that story. But as we go through the story, there's a couple of things that I just kind of want to bring out. And the first one is in the very first line, it says they were gathered with the armies together to battle, you know. And as we look at stories in the Bible, we kind of want to try to bring them into modern day times. And the bottom line is that, you know, we're at war. We're in a spiritual battle. You guys know all about that, you know. I mean, at 20 years old, Jenna, that what are some different things that people your age are battling these days?
You know? It's really sad just with COVID and everything and all this crazy stuff, how just the suicide rate is so strong for people my age, and it's just terrible what we have to go through and daily struggles. But having Jesus and God in my life, it's definitely helping. I can't imagine not having that.
I know a lot of people are battling addictions as well. They're turning to alcohol, they're turning to drugs because they're facing things in this world and thinking, well, how can I get through this? Well, I know, I'll just start drinking and maybe that'll help my problems, but that just creates bigger problems.
They're medicating their problems a lot of times. Right. So it's real obvious we're in a spiritual battle. I know, you know, we've been married for what, 33 years now. And, you know, it's tough. It's tough to stay married in this day and age. So I know there's a lot of spiritual battles going on in people's marriages. You know, the enemy has territory in the earth, and we've been given dominion over that. And God's kingdom has territory. And so I look at this battle scene, and it's the Philistines against the Israelites. But I always look at things in the Bible, and I go, well, it's the enemy's camp against God's camp, you know, and as believers, we're God's camp.
Yeah.
But the enemy has a camp too, you know, and he's coming against us in so many different ways. And, you know, we're fighting basically for the souls of people.
Yeah. And I feel like Goliath, obviously, he was like 9 foot tall, 9 inches. He probably looked like the perfect person to win the battle, but that's what the enemy will try to do. He'll try to make you look stronger when you're not stronger just because you may look like it. But if you have God on your side, it doesn't matter if you're the littlest person. It doesn't matter
if you aren't
even equipped or anything, because God equips you. He makes you ready for that battle. And I just love that.
And in 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind.
Yeah.
So we can't be in fear. We have to trust God in this battle.
Because
we're in a battle in this world. We may not see it. We might forget that it's there. But the enemy would love nothing more than to start our year off with discouragement and defeat and bringing fear and stress. But we can't let him in. We can't let him win.
Yeah, if you're a believer, you know, who's living like salt and light in this dark world, You know, you won't go for long without encountering spiritual warfare in your life. You know, there's obstacles, there's attacks that the enemy, he's going to hurl that in your direction. You know, God reminds us in his word to stay aware of Satan's schemes and, you know, to live alert in this world and to stay close to him. You know, he arms us with the sword, which is the word of God, to stand against the enemy and his lies.
Yeah, and if we have the word of God and we're believing it, I feel like this is just a new year of renewing our mind and setting us free from knowing the truth. Because when we know the truth and we equipped ourselves with, we have the strength, the wisdom, and discernment through the Holy Spirit to know what to do and how to win that battle. Because it may look like in the natural, I can't do this. David probably was like, for a while, probably was like, I don't know if I'd be able to do this. But no, he trusted in God, even though he might not have felt like he was equipped, that he could do it. And that's how he won, having that faith that you can win the battle.
One of the biggest ways that we can fight is through worship and praise and worship and filling our minds with the word of God, writing down scriptures and start speaking them over our lives. And that's a great way to defeat the enemy, especially in your mind.
Yeah, yesterday on the program, you know, Sharon and I talked to you guys about different ways to study the Bible. And, you know, you're bringing up praise and worship. I know that that's a huge weapon in our spiritual battle, you know, having praise and worship, playing in our homes, playing in our cars, you know, at church, going through those things and being in the Word and knowing all of that. And, you know, as we grow to know God's truth and what is real, we also know more about what's false, you know, and we're stronger to stand against it in the powerful name of Jesus in our lives. I love that.
That is so,
you know, he says that he'll never leave us or forsake us. He's not going to leave us to fend for ourselves in a dark world. God is here with us, but he reminds us that, you know, he is fighting, you know, for us and through us. You know, even when we can't see it, sometimes we got to realize and recognize that God is doing amazing things.
And I don't know if some people have battled this, but sometimes at night, when it's quiet at night, it seems like that's when the enemy tries to get your mind.
Yeah,
while
that's
you're laying in bed, he starts trying to attack your mind and say, oh, what's going on in your life? It makes you feel in fear. Let's say you had a diagnosis of some sort of sickness. When you're at night, that's when the enemy starts to go in like, oh, you're going to die. You're not going to make it through this. And that's when you have to fill your mind with the word. Turn the worship music on.
That's when the giant stands and taunts you like Goliath did with David. And he says, you know, I'm going to defy God in your life. I'm going to take you out, you know, and I'm going to. And what did David do?
Exactly.
You know, because you were saying this, that, you know, David,
he
spoke had words.
It out.
Yeah.
Before he even had the victory, he spoke past victories.
Yeah.
He said, hey, I fought this lion, I fought this bear, and I'm going to fight this giant. So we look at our past and go, all right, what situations have I gone through that God's pulled me through? If he did it then, he'll do it again.
Right.
Look around at your friends that have gone through battles. Maybe someone that you know that battled cancer and they've gone through it. What did you do? How did you make it through? By speaking the word of God, by knowing that when Jesus said it is finished on the cross, he bore our sickness and disease. It is finished. And we can trust him that no matter what we're facing, the blood of Jesus was enough. And we have the victory.
Sure.
Yeah, the only thing the enemy has is lies. So he's just going to tell you any lie to make you feel weak. Like he probably maybe put lies to David, like, you can't do this. You're small. Like, how can you fight against this giant? But when you know the truth, he knew who his God was. So he knew, no, I can do this. God told me I can. And so knowing the truth is what's going to help you be able to face those giants and win and have that victory. Because like my mom said, we already have that victory in Jesus. We just have to know it.
Yeah, I've always said that the only power of the false is its ability to hide the truth. And I see David knowing the truth of who God was in his life, knowing that, you know what, God was with me and I killed the lion and I killed the bear. When something came to attack, you know, the flock, the sheep, you know, and we always see in the Bible that sheep represent, you know, the God's children and the shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And so David had this shepherd mentality. And when Goliath came to rise up against Israel, he immediately just said, hey, you know what? I don't care. A lion came in, a bear came in, this Philistine's right here. I'll take him by the beard and I'll slay him too, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was just a powerful powerful thing, you know. And I think the biggest thing we need to realize is, you know, that we need the Word of God in our life, you know, because when we pray God's Word back to Him, it's a powerful weapon against the forces of evil. It is truth going out, you know, and it reminds us that God knows our way and He understands what we're facing in this day, in this age that we're living, and it helps to build our faith and help us to, what? Trust in God.
Exactly. The Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4:7. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it in abundance. John 10:10.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Come on, Jenna, give us another scripture.
Yeah, I love this in Joshua 9. It says, have I not commanded you, be strong, courageous, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I feel like that's such a reminder, knowing no matter what battles we're facing, God is with us everywhere we go. And so, no matter what the giants in our life are, He's with us. He's fighting there for us. He already fought it for us. We just have to have the faith to believe that we have that victory.
Yeah, and Jesus has given us that victory on the cross. You know, in John 10:10, it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So, you know what? There's abundant life available for you in the spiritual battle that you're going through in your life. I just want you to know today that God is with you, and
Amen.
He is ready to defeat the giants that are coming at you in your life, and He is more than enough. Wouldn't you guys say that?
We already have the victory through Jesus.
That's right.
So we just trust in Him, speak the word over our life, get worship going, pray, and fight the battle, and know that we've already won.
Yeah, when you know whose team you're on, you already know you won the battle when you're on Team Jesus, because He already won.
Amen.
So remember it like John 16:33 says, I've told you these things that in this world you may have peace. That you may have peace. In this world you're going to have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry, Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the Fellowship Hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net. All right, everybody, we're back, and I just wanted to thank Lisa and Jenna for being here with us today.
We were honored.
You guys did
a
great job pronouncing all those really difficult names and stuff in the chapters, and that's always a challenge. But, guys, we just want you to know that you have the victory through Jesus in your life today. So we're going to close the program, and I want you to reflect on this song. It's by Elevation Worship. It's I See a Victory. And know this, God has already given you the victory in your life. Just enjoy the song. Just let the Lord know that you love Him.
Falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, oh. Hey.
Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.